From the Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen Center for Media Evangelization in Ewing, New Jersey, welcome to Come to Me with Jim Manfredonia. Stay tuned for an hour of talk, reflections, and meditations on topics that are important to today's Catholics. And now, here's your host, Jim Manfredonia.
And a very good day to you, my friends. Welcome to Come to Me. My name is Jim Manfredonia, and as always, it is a great joy to share this hour with you every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, and we repeat the program 10 p.m. those same days. Buona festa di San Giuseppe. Happy feast day of St. Joseph. Happy St. Joseph's Day on this beautiful March 19th. Feels a little bit more like October, but that's okay. It's a beautiful day. It's a solemnity, my friends. So today, if you've been to Mass, you're going to go to Mass. We sing the Gloria. It's a little break in Lent. So you can even break your fast today to celebrate the great saint, good Saint Joseph. And so we'll talk about that. Actually, it was back in 1989. Holy Father Saint Pope John Paul II wrote an apostolic exhortation called Guardian of the Redeemer. And I'll share a little bit of that with you at the end of that particular document. He talks about St. Joseph as the patron of the universal church. And, you know, people can complain all they want about things that go on in the church. It's a human institution. You know, we're human beings, so a lot of mistakes can be made. But we go to St. Joseph as the guardian and protector of the universal church. And so we'll hear what Holy Father St. Pope John Paul II had to say about that. Also, Holy Father Pope Francis, in his Angelus message on Sunday, talked about God's glory not corresponding to human success. So we'll share that Angelus message with you. We are going to pray first, though, my friends. And as always, I invite you to join me in raising your special prayer requests and prayer intentions. We're continuing to pray this deliverance prayer, a parent's deliverance prayer, because we know the family is under horrible attack. And today is a great day to go to St. Joseph in a special way, who is the patron of fathers, patron of families. I mean, he was the head of the Holy Family. So if you're having issues within your own family structure, your own family unit, maybe there are estrangements or arguments, difficulties, a fracturing, the devil wants nothing more than to divide your family. That's what he wants to do. He's the great divider. So we go to St. Joseph today in a very, very special way. And we'll pray the memorare to St. Joseph when we conclude our prayer, at the conclusion of our prayer time today. But we're praying this beautiful prayer, deliverance prayer, parents' deliverance prayer. As you know, as Monsignor Rossetti informs us, he being an American exorcist, that spouses have divine authority over their own bodies, their spouses, and their minor children. So we can cast out evil from our own bodies, from our spouse and our minor children. We have that authority. For our adult children, many of whom need some exorcising, we go to Almighty God and ask Him in a very special way to remove and dispel any evil that may be affecting our adult children. So we'll pray that prayer as well, as part of this prayer, actually. So let's raise our hearts and minds together as one now, my brothers and sisters. And as Bruce said a few hours ago, take it to the throne of Almighty God. And we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, I invoke the full authority you've given me as a spouse and a parent, and I lift any curses, spells, seals, hexes, vexes, consecrations, voodoo, or any occult action or any evil affecting me or my spouse or my children who are minors. In Jesus' name, I cast out all evil spirits that are harming us. In Jesus' name, I reject them, I rebuke them, I renounce them, and I cast them out. For my adult children, I beg you, Heavenly Father, to hear a parent's plea and free them from any of these occult actions or any evil, and cast out all evil spirits. Father, I beseech you to send a spirit of unity and peace to my family. Heal the divisions in our family. May those family members who are estranged from each other be reconciled in forgiveness and love. May we live together in your peace. I pray for special healing graces for each one of us. Heal the wounds that plague us. Heal any depression, anxiety, fears, compulsions, addictions, angers, resentments, and any and all mental and physical illnesses. Restore us to full health. I especially ask for the following specific grace for my family, if it be your holy will. And now, my friends, we raise up those special family intentions that we have, and we bring them to the throne of Almighty God. Most of all, may you infuse into our hearts the gift of faith, always trusting in you. Bring back any of us who have wandered from the faith. May we be fully protected from all harm and evil by the shield of faith and the sword of truth. I make this parent's prayer in the holy name of Jesus, begging the powerful intercession of the Holy Family with the Virgin Mary, and today in a very special way, Saint Joseph and all the saints. Amen. And my brothers and sisters, let's pray our prayers to St. Michael and to Our Lady, as Holy Father asks us to pray these two particular prayers every day, with the specific intention to protect the Church from the attacks of the devil. And we add to that to protect our families, our homes, and our country from the attacks of the devil. And so we pray, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. We fly to thy protection, O Holy Mother of God. Do not despise our petitions and our necessities, but deliver us always from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Amen. And we pray, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, Holy Family of Nazareth, we love you. Pray for us. Venerable Archbishop Sheen, pray for us. Saint Pope John Paul II, pray for us. Our Lady of Good Remedy, pray for us. And in a very, very special way today, Saint Joseph, pray for us. And we'll pray the Memorare to Saint Joseph, a very powerful prayer, my brothers and sisters. Remember, O most chaste spouse of the Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who implored your help and sought your intercession was left unassisted. Full of confidence in your power, we fly unto you and beg your protection. Despise not, O guardian of the Redeemer, my humble supplication, but in your bounty, hear and answer me. Amen. And you know, my friends, one of the most powerful titles of Saint Joseph is Terror of Demons. And so I have the prayer here that we'll pray to Saint Joseph, Terror of Demons. Saint Joseph, Terror of Demons, cast your solemn gaze upon the devil and all his minions and protect us with your mighty staff. You fled through the night to avoid the devil's wicked designs. Now with the power of God, smite the demons as they flee from you. Grant special protection, we pray, for children, fathers, families, and the dying. And in a special way today, my brothers and sisters, all of us who are gathered here, we ask Saint Joseph to grant special protection to our families, all members of our families. By God's grace, no demon dares approach while you are near. So we beg of you, always be near to us and our family members. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, again, my brothers and sisters, thank you so very much for being here, joining me on this beautiful solemnity, La Festa di San Giuseppe, the Feast of Saint Joseph, and in a very, very special way. Now, we know all of our Irish friends, you had your Saint Patrick's Day on Sunday, and we celebrate Saint Patrick. But there are certain cultures, like the Italian culture, you know, Saint Joseph is the patron of a number of cities in Italy, if not Italy itself, We celebrate this day in a special way. And so we go to St. Joseph. All of us, the Universal Church, goes to St. Joseph today on his solemnity, the feast day, and ask for especially protection for our church, our Holy Father, but also as a very beautiful patron of fathers, a great example. You know, Holy Father Pope Francis on his desk has a statue, and I've seen it. I didn't know about it until I read an article a number of months ago about Pope Francis and this statue that he keeps on his desk of St. Joseph sleeping. He's reclined and he's sleeping. It's not a stand-up statue. He's asleep. And it's because our Lord spoke to St. Joseph in dreams. You know, when the angel came to him in a dream and told him to take Mary and the baby, Jesus, and flee to Egypt. I mean, this is how... And then he was told to be, when he found out about Mary being with child, the angel said, "Don't be afraid. It's by the Holy Spirit that this happened." And so I think it's a beautiful thing. You take that statue of St. Joseph and put it on your nightstand. And when you're asleep, pray that your dreams are peaceful and holy. And that maybe even the Lord speaks to us at times in our dreams as he did to St. Joseph. But we know, again, a very, very powerful patron, and after Mary, probably the most powerful saint, and a great intercessory power. So today, in a special way, go to him. You know, if you had a chance to get the Mass, that's great. I know tonight, in fact, we're going to leave here shortly when I'm done, not before the program's over, after the program, to go up to St. Magdalene's, because there's a 7 o'clock Mass for St. Joseph tonight at St. Magdalene's in Flemington. So Cheryl and I will be going up to that. And we've been praying the very powerful novena to St. Joseph. And today is the last day, and we're praying for a very, very, very special intention that weighs heavily on our heart and has for a number of years now. And so we're praying that St. Joseph, through his great intercessory prayer, you know, our Lord can never say no to St. Joseph. And so we go to and ask him to go to the Lord and ask him, and you should be as well in your prayers for your special intention, and especially for families these days. You know, St. Joseph, who is the patron of families, we go to him and pray that families are united, especially those families that are divided right now. That, you know, in some cases, it's going to take great miracles to reunite family members, hearts that have been hardened for years that need to be made of flesh now. And the Lord can do that. Jesus can do that. He can do anything. And sometimes it's the Lord himself who has to step in. And so we ask St. Joseph to go to his foster son and ask him for our special intentions that you should be doing as well on this beautiful solemnity that we celebrate today. So we just say, St. Joseph, please pray for us. Pray for us. Holy Father Pope Francis on Sunday in his Angelus message talked about God's glory not corresponding to human success. Now, before I begin this, just I mentioned it earlier, but the second half of the program, after we come back from break, I'm going to share with you from St. Pope John Paul II's beautiful apostolic exhortation from 1989, Guardian of the Redeemer, about St. Joseph. Some beautiful teachings from St. Pope John Paul. So we're not done with St. Joseph yet. We'll get back to him. But in his Angelus message on Sunday, the Holy Father said that God's glory and our true happiness are not found in success, fame, or popularity. Now, you know, a lot of people strive for this, feeling that once, if I could become extremely successful in business or whatever my trade might be, or if I can become famous. You know, we look at remember that program many years ago, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, and almost to the point of trying to make us be envious of them, see all that they have, yachts and private jets and luxury homes on estate homes. And gee, if only I could be rich and famous like those people, I'd be happy. Or be popular, you know. I always use the example, and it kind of hit me that day, you know, again, being a fan of Frank Sinatra, it was odd for me to be, in the 1970s, you know, when I was in my 20s, Sinatra was kind of in the twilight of his career there. But I enjoyed his music. I enjoyed, you know, what he did, and I'd go see him, and I saw him at Carnegie Hall. I saw him down at Resorts International Atlantic City. We saw him a number of times in various venues. But a few years ago when Cheryl and I were out west, and we went to Cathedral City in California, where the cemetery near Palm Springs where Sinatra's buried, and you go to the cemetery and there's just a small ground marker standing over there. And I remember standing over his grave and thinking, you know, thousands and thousands of people came to see this individual perform. And here he is, just like everybody else. What's left of him is buried here, and we pray he's with the Lord. But, you know, doesn't in the end, it makes no difference how popular you were in life or how famous or successful you were. We're all going to leave this world just like we came in, naked and with nothing to take with us. So Holy Father's saying, you know, people strive for this, and they believe true happiness can be found in these things. He says, no, true happiness cannot be found and will not be found in success, fame, or popularity, but true happiness will be found in loving and forgiving. In loving and forgiving. And Holy Father said, how is it possible that God's glory is manifest in the humiliation of the cross? One would think it happened in the resurrection, not on the cross, which is a defeat, a failure. Instead, the Holy Father said today, talking about his passion, and this was from Sunday's Gospel, Jesus says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And Pope Francis said, what does he mean? He explained that for God, glory is to love to the point of giving one's life. Glorification for him, Pope Francis said, means giving himself, making himself accessible, offering his love. And this reached its culmination on the cross, where Jesus outspread God's love to the maximum, fully revealing the face of mercy, giving us life, and forgiving his executioners. You know, there's that, I guess now we call them memes, you know, these images with words that pop up on Facebook or here and then. But many years ago, remember there was one that said, I asked Jesus how much he loved me, and he outstretched his arms and said this much, and you see him nailed to the cross. And it's true. This is what Holy Father is saying, you know, that the offering of the love that Christ had to offer all of us, all of humanity, reached its culmination on the cross. And he said that giving and forgiveness are very different criteria to what we see around us and also within us when we think of glory. Yet while worldly glory fades, this Christian way of life brings lasting happiness. And so we can ask ourselves, what is the glory I desire for myself, for my life, that I dream of for my future? When we're young, you know, we think and we believe we have our whole life ahead of us. So many things we'd like to do and accomplish, what we would like to become. You know, we start at a very, think about it, at a very, very early age. A common question asked of young children, what do you want to be when you grow up? Right? Think about you, me. I think about my desires as a five-year-old. I think my mother told me that the first thing I said I wanted to be when I was asked, it probably was, you know, 3 or 4 years old or four. What do you want to be when you grow up? I said I wanted to be a garbage man. We called them sanitation workers today, but in the late 50s, we called them garbage men. That was what I was aspiring to. It was fine. If that's what you want to do, nothing wrong with being a sanitation worker or a garbage man. And I wanted to be a baseball player. I wanted to play for the Yankees. And I wanted to be an astronaut. And all the things that we see, and I think probably because, well, for me anyway, I guess I used to watch the garbage trucks come. I used to enjoy when the garbage trucks came, and it was an exciting point in my day. I want to be like that guy, or I want to be like that ball player. I want to be like that astronaut, I want to be like that singer. And we think that attaining that will be the ultimate happiness, because it'll bring a fulfillment of a desire, which is fine. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with aspiring to these things and attaining them, because you probably will make you happy. If it's, you know, it's that great. And I've been doing what I'm doing here for almost 30 years. And prior to this, I was in a corporate environment. I was a customer service manager, trainer for FedEx. You know, for 15 years, I was doing that. And it met a need. You know, it satisfied a need that I had in my life, and in newlywed, and then raising a family with a steady job and a steady income and all the things that came with working for a Fortune 500 company, middle management. But there was a time when I was not happy in it. I wasn't satisfied. It was you know, fulfilling a particular material need that I had, but it wasn't fulfilling anything else. And then the Lord began to, you know, shake things up in my life. He wanted me to be somewhere else. He wanted me to be here. And thanks be to God. Not been easy. It's not been an easy thing doing this, especially in the beginning. But I remember many, many, many years ago, probably even before I began my work in the apostolate, where I heard someone say that if you do for a living what you love, you never work a day in your life. And that's part of this fulfillment of fulfilling your vocation, fulfilling what God wants you to do. When that happens, you feel an extreme peace and in knowing that this is where you belong, right? But if we strive for beyond just fulfilling a vocation and striving for power and prestige and success and money and all the things the world has to offer us, thinking that's going to bring us happiness, it's not, Holy Father said. It's not. Worldly glory fades, Pope Francis says. These things that, you know, we can have the best cars in the world and the biggest and best houses and an enormous portfolio and vacation homes and do all these things that most people just really dream of doing, it's not going to bring us happiness. We see this quite evident in the people who win these mega lotteries. You know, the majority of these people who win all this money, it doesn't bring them happiness. It brings them more misery than happiness, especially if they don't know what to do with it and they're being frivolous with it. I always tell the Lord, I've told you this, I tell you, if I ever won the Powerball or the Mega Millions, I'd put Catholic radio stations up and down the East Coast. And Sean and I just dream of being great philanthropists, just giving it away. But you know what? The Lord in his great wisdom probably knows my weaknesses and says, how you think that. Yeah, but if I put you in that position, no happiness there, my friends. So the Holy Father says, and so we ask ourselves, what is the glory I desire for myself, for my life, I dream of, for my future? And he said, that of impressing others with my prowess, my abilities, or the things I possess, or the path of giving and forgiveness, that of the crucified Jesus, the way of those who never tire of loving, confident that this bears witness to God in the world and makes the beauty of life shine. What glory do I want for myself? Indeed, Pope Francis said, let us remember that when we give and forgive, God's glory shines in us. And so we have to remember that we have these opportunities every day, you know. And let me also say, there's no sin in being powerful, successful, wealthy. There's no sin in that. You know, I see sometimes, you know, again, I'm a big baseball fan. Baseball season's about to start. Spring training games have been played. And you hear about all the free agency signings over the winter, some of these contracts that these ball players have. I mean, we're talking millions of dollars a year getting paid. If you divvy it up, some of these contracts, some ball players are getting over $150,000 a day over the course of a year with these mega contracts that they sign. And we think, well, what would we do with all that money? And we don't know, you know, and we pray that these athletes and these entertainers and these business people who have been very worldly successful in the sense that they're getting compensated outrageous amounts of money, in the end, it's not going with them. But what will go with them is what they did with that money when they were on Earth. Did they give? Did they forgive? You know, you can get wrapped up in these materialistic ways. And Holy Father Pope Francis talks about this often. Materialism, consumerism, on how detrimental they are to, and can be, possibly be, to a Christian life. You know, what we do with these things. And I know, you know, in the work that I do here in the apostolate, I tell you all the time, we're coming up to our spring radiothon in a few weeks, I guess Easter week. And we are always, always in awe of the amazing generosity of all of our family of listeners and donors, especially those who have to really struggle to make a donation of $25 or $50 here or there. We understand that. We are just amazed at your generosity. I've also met very many wealthy people, people who have lots of money, and very, very good people, very good people who know they've been blessed financially, who know that the Lord wants them to give away what he has given them. So there's no sin in wealth. The sin occurs in what we do with that wealth, if it is something we shouldn't be doing. But really, in the end, our glory doesn't come in that. You know, we look at, again, the rich and the famous, people who have been enormously successful, have made enormous amounts of money, have great wealth, many, many possessions, a power in the world, prestige. You know, you watch interviews with some of these entertainers who are very visible in this country. They go into a restaurant or at an airport or someplace, and people, you know, throngs of people surround them. Oh, there's so-and-so. Let's get an autograph. Let's get a selfie. Let's get a picture. And then they go to Europe or a foreign country where they're not known, and they walk down the street, and they say they enjoy it, but then they say, but you know what? I really kind of miss people coming up to me and saying, oh, and recognizing me. They miss the recognition. The recognition we should long for is the recognition for forgiving, as the glory of God shines through us in that, Pope Francis said it, and in giving. Giving of our time, our talent, our treasure. Living in this world, knowing that it's temporary. We're only here a little stopover on the way to eternal life. But while we're here, we are to reflect that glory of God through our life, how we live. And especially as disciples of Jesus Christ, we're called, as he instructed us, to forgive, to love, to bring his gospel message to as many people as possible in word and deed. So we can, look, hey, listen, you know, you may be in a position, someone listening or watching right now, in a position where you've become very successful in what you do using the gifts and the talents God has given you, and it's brought you great worldly success. God bless you. That's a gift from God. God allowed that. He, and of course, then he holds you responsible for how you use that. And me too. You know, I have an enormous responsibility every day sitting behind this microphone, ensuring that what I say is in line with what the church teaches. You can't just come on here and proclaim the gospel of Jim Manfredonia. God forbid. So with these types of successes, there comes responsibility. But our responsibility in this life, as Pope Francis said in his Angelus on Sunday, is, Let the glory of God shine through us in how we live, how we give, how we forgive. I'll take a break when I come back. St. Joseph on this great solemnity, the guardian of the Redeemer, a beautiful apostolic exhortation by St. Pope John Paul II from 1989. I'll be right back. Don't go away. Have you downloaded the Domestic Church Media app for all your mobile devices? It's free and enables you to stay in touch with Domestic Church Media and all we have to offer. You can tune into our live broadcast 24/7 as well as listen to our archives and podcasts. And you can even watch our local DCM programs live on our YouTube channel or watch the archive programs all on your phone or tablet. In addition to all things DCM, you'll also have so many other resources right at your fingertips. The free Domestic Church Media mobile app also gives you the daily mass readings, the liturgy of the hours, numerous common prayers and novenas, and daily saints of the day. And that's not all. The Domestic Church Media mobile app also includes the complete catechism of the Catholic Church, the entire Bible, as well as multiple Catholic periodicals and newspapers like the National Catholic Register, Our Sunday Visitor, and so many others. Plus, you'll have access to all our local diocesan newspapers and so much more. Go to your app store today and download the free Domestic Church Media mobile app. We know you'll love it.
What have you done for your marriage today?
I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
She got a really short haircut that she hated, and I wrote her a note and put it up on the mirror saying that she was a cute girl with cute hair.
I got him mustard and mayonnaise for his sandwich when we were having lunch.
Today we've actually organized a date night tonight.
And silverware and napkins. Wasn't that wonderful?
What have I done for my marriage today?
Wow, that is a great question.
I took the baby while she worked.
I suppose I didn't yell at him for anything. At all.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah. I've carried my wife's purse.
What have you done for your marriage today?
What have I done?
I listened to my wife when we talked on the telephone today.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
She really likes it when I listen.
What have you done for your marriage today? Little things can make a big difference. For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Church.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
For the first 1,000 years, there were married priests within the church. There still are married priests under certain circumstances, you know, so it's not absolutely necessary. However, I'm a supporter of it, and I wouldn't want us to move in the direction of kind of a, hey, you know, optional, some do it, some don't. I get it. And I go back to Paul, and it's Paul's words that are actually in the ordination ritual, you know, about an undivided life, a total gift. I have nothing but the greatest respect for married people. In fact, when I hear the term heroic sanctity, when they talk about saints, I think of parents right away, you know, who give themselves to their kids. But there's something, I think, pure and simple and undivided about the life of celibacy. It's a radical conformity unto the celibate Christ. Why am I celibate? My ultimate answer, because Jesus was, and I'm conformed to him.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
It started like it does for many people. I question my faith and question authority. And I feel that the reason why I left was the draw of the world. The world was pulling me away. Some people would say, you know, Satan was working on me. He did not want me in church. He wanted me to be desperate. He wanted me to have the thoughts of suicide. I started to realize that a lot of the things that I experienced in my life were a result of my rebellion against God and against authority. Coming back to the church is the first step in healing from all of the hurts of the world. I went from being desperate and in despair to finding hope and encouragement for the future. I'm on God's team. I know who I belong to, and I know where I'm going, and there's nothing that can separate me from God's love.
Take another look at the Catholic Church. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Hello, I'm Bishop David O'Connell of the Diocese of Trenton, and this is a Eucharistic moment. Our Catholic faith and teachings draw their inspiration from and rely upon the Word of God as the source of their truth. The Holy Scriptures, both in the Old and New Testaments, are filled with constant accounts of God's presence among us. The New Testament Gospels, of course, center on the mystery of God's incarnation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The whole of Holy Scriptures lead us to the moment at the Last Supper, when the Lord Jesus took bread and wine, only become his very body and blood, blessed, broken, and given to the disciples and through them to all of us throughout time. Do this in memory of me. Before he ascended to the Father, Jesus said, "Observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." The Eucharist is the way Jesus Christ is with us always, and is our central belief, a mystery, a sacrament, and the source of life.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back on this beautiful solemnity of St. Joseph, and to all of you Josephs out there and Josephines, Giuseppes, happy feast day. Happy feast day to you. And we're going to go to a beautiful apostolic exhortation by St. Pope John Paul II called The Guardian of the Redeemer, and I'll share a little bit of that with you. At the end of that particular document, he talks about St. Joseph as patron and protector of the universal church. And that's important because, you know, our church has been under attack since our Lord founded it on the Rock of Peter 2,000 years ago. And we know that today, especially in many ways, the church is, again, under attack. Holy Father Pope Francis recognized that so much so that over five and a half years ago, and we do it every day here, he asked the faithful to pray to St. Michael and to Our Lady, the ancient prayer to Our Blessed Mother, the Subtum Praesidium prayer, with the specific intention to protect the church from the attacks of the devil. So we'll get to that beautiful exhortation. You know, there's, and I wasn't aware of this, there was a devotion to St. Joseph that I had never heard of it. Seven Sundays, the Seven Sundays of St. Joseph, and the seven Sundays preceding his feast day. So this should have begun praying back in February, I guess. I'll do it next year. But this is popular, and maybe many of you have heard of this. I had not. One of the most popular devotions to St. Joseph is the Seven Sundays of St. Joseph, an extended opportunity to meditate about the Holy Patriarch and to pray for his intercession. So, and again, you know, God's outside of time. So if we miss the seven Sundays, you could do it now. It's feast day. Just go ahead. But again, I think, you know, we look at the power of intercessory prayer and how St. Joseph, as I said, you know, our Lord can't say no to him. Well, he can if he wanted to, but he wouldn't. Would never say no to St. Joseph. So go to St. Joseph and give him your special intentions and just hand them to him. Ask them to place it in his heart and go to the Lord as he holds it. I always like that, the image of St. Joseph holding baby Jesus and whispering in his ear that, your intention, you know, in a special way today to do that, whatever that might be. We, as I said, we've been praying ourselves for a very special family intention. So when you pray to St. Joseph today, if you would, please remember the Manfredonia family intention. We would appreciate that. Back in August of 1989, Holy Father Pope Francis gave the world this beautiful apostolic exhortation, Guardian of the Redeemer. And he concludes the document, and you can, by the way, you can get any of these documents on the Vatican website, www.vatican.va, the first two letters in Vatican, www.vatican.va, and then go to the John Paul section, and all of his, again, you have 26 years of writing, so there's a lot there to choose from. But this would be under Apostolic Exhortations, 1989, Guardian of the Redeemer. But he concludes the document, and I don't know if I'll be able to get through this entire conclusion in the time we have left, but I'll do the best I can to get the gist of it out there. Holy Father John Paul wrote about Joseph, St. Joseph, as patron of the church in our day. And he said, at a difficult time in the church's history, Pope Pius IX, wishing to place her under the powerful patronage of the Holy Patriarch Joseph, declared him patron of the Catholic Church. For Pius IX, this was no idle gesture, since by virtue of the sublime dignity which God has granted to his most faithful servant, Joseph, the Church, and this is from the document by Pius IX, the Church, after the Blessed Virgin, his spouse, has always held him in great honor and showered him with praise, having recourse to him amid tribulation. And Pope John Paul writes, what are the reasons for such great confidence? Pope Leo XIII explained it this way. These are the words of Pope Leo XIII. The reasons why St. Joseph must be considered the special patron of the Church, and the Church, in turn, draws exceeding hope from his care and patronage, chiefly arise from his having been the husband of Mary and the presumed father of Jesus. Joseph was in his day the lawful and natural guardian, head, and defender of the Holy Family. It is thus fitting and most worthy of Joseph's dignity that, in the same way that he once kept unceasing holy watch over the family of Nazareth, so now does he protect and defend his heavenly patronage, the Church of Christ. And those are the words of Pope Leo XIII. And you can also apply that, my friends, to families. It's fitting that the most worthy of Joseph's dignity, that in the same way that he once kept unceasing holy watch over the family of Nazareth, of course, now protects and defends with his heavenly patronage the Church of Christ, but families. Ask him to, you know, especially as we pray that beautiful prayer, St. Joseph, terror of demons. The demons flee when they see St. Joseph coming. So I always ask the Holy Family to dwell in our domestic church. We all should allow the Holy Family a special dwelling place in your home, your domestic church, with St. Joseph as the head. John Paul writes, this patronage must be invoked as ever necessary for the church, not only as a defense against all dangers, but also, and indeed primarily, as an impetus for her renewed commitment to evangelization in the world and to re-evangelize in those lands and nations where, as I wrote in the apostolic exhortation Christe Fidelis Laici, that's the role of the laity in the church, religion and the Christian life were formerly flourishing and are now put to a hard test. In order to bring the first proclamation of Christ, or to bring it anew wherever it has been neglected or forgotten, the church has need of special power from on high, a gift of the Spirit of the Lord, a gift which is not unrelated to the intercession and example of his saints. Besides trusting in Joseph's sure protection, the church also trusts in his noble example, which transcends all individual states of life and serves as a model for the entire Christian community, whatever the condition and duties of each of its members may be. As the Constitution on Divine Revelation of the Second Vatican Council has said, the basic attitude of the entire church must be that of hearing the Word of God with reverence and absolute readiness to serve faithfully God's salvific will revealed in Jesus. Already at the beginning of human redemption, after Mary, we find the model of obedience made incarnate in St. Joseph, the man known for having faithfully carried out God's commands. And John Paul said that St. Paul VI, or then Pope Paul VI, invited us to invoke Joseph's patronage as the church has been wont to do in these recent times. Remember, Paul VI was Holy Father from 1963 to 1978. So those times, throughout the 60s and almost all of the 70s, he was recognizing even then that there was a great need in those times for St. Joseph, for herself in the first place, with a spontaneous theological reflection on the marriage of divine and human action in the great economy of the redemption, in which economy the first, the divine one, is wholly sufficient unto itself, while the second, the human action, which is ours, though capable of nothing, is never dispensed from a humble but conditional and ennobling collaboration. The Church also calls upon Joseph as her protector because of a profound and ever-present desire to reinvigorate her ancient life with true evangelical virtues, such as shine forth in St. Joseph. And Holy Father John Paul says the Church transforms these needs into prayer, recalling that God wished to entrust the beginnings of our redemption to the faithful care of St. Joseph. She asks God to grant that she may faithfully cooperate in the work of salvation, that she may receive the same faithfulness and purity of heart that inspired Joseph in serving the incarnate Word, and that she may walk before God in the ways of holiness and justice, following Joseph's example and through his intercession. Now, 100 years ago, Pope Leo XIII had already exhorted the Catholic Church, the Catholic world, to pray for the protection of St. Joseph, patron of the whole Church. He wrote an encyclical letter. He calls it an encyclical epistle. Quam pluries appeals to Joseph's fatherly love for the child Jesus and commended to him as the provident guardian of the divine family, the beloved inheritance which Jesus Christ purchased by his blood. Since that time, as I recalled at the beginning of the exhortation, the Church has implored the protection of St. Joseph on the basis of that sacred bond of charity which united him to the Immaculate Virgin Mother of God. And the Church has commended to St. Joseph all of her cares, including those dangers which threaten the human family. So it's all intertwined. You know, my brothers and sisters, as we as family, in whatever structure our family is right now. You know, some of you I know are perhaps widows or widowers. You have family that, you know, it lives far away. You don't see them much. You have other families who regularly gather every Sunday. They're so close, both geographically and in their hearts. But in all of these cases, we are as trying to live our vocation as domestic Church, as every family should be. St. Joseph is certainly the patron that we look to and commend to him all of our needs and all of our desires for family unity. We bring that to St. Joseph, and he who, you know, and again, there's that joke, little quip, that Father Benedict Rochelle would relay when he was giving talks sometimes, to talk about St. Joseph, on what a humble man he was, and think of how humble it must have been for him to be sitting at the breakfast table every morning having a cup of coffee, and across the table are the Immaculate Conception and the Incarnation, who are answering to him. The great confidence that God the Father placed in St. Joseph as the protector and the guardian of the Holy Family. And even today, Pope John Paul II writes, we have many reasons to pray in a similar way, most beloved Father, dispel the evil of falsehood and sin. Graciously assist us from heaven in our struggle with the powers of darkness. And just as you saved the child Jesus from mortal danger, so now defend God's holy Church from the snares of her enemies and from all adversity. And you can also add to that to defend our family. Today, we still have a good reason to commend everyone to St. Joseph. And John Paul says, it's my heartfelt wish that these reflections on the person of St. Joseph will renew us in us the prayerful devotion which my predecessor called for a century ago. Our prayers and the very person of Joseph have renewed significance for the Church in our day in light of the third Christian millennium. Now, again, this was 1989. The Second Vatican Council made all of us sensitive once again to the great things which God has done and to that economy of salvation of which St. Joseph was a special minister, commending ourselves then to the protection of him who, to whose custody God entrusted his greatest and most precious treasures. There's that beautiful image, you see it around Christmas time, of St. Joseph, well, actually asleep behind him on a bed of hay, our Blessed Mother, after bringing forth the Christ child, and she's asleep on the hay, and there's St. Joseph holding the baby. And just imagine what that was for him, you know, being chosen, as Our Lady was chosen from all women, to be the mother of the Savior. He, being ordained by Almighty God to be the foster father of Jesus and the protector of the Holy Family, and to do what he did in the course of his life on earth, and the way he lived, and the great example he set for fathers then down through the ages, husbands and fathers, to do what has to. I never forget my dad, God rest his soul. You know, you don't realize it until they're gone sometimes, most of the time probably, just how wise your parents were and the example they set for us. You know, my father went to work every day. He was a chemist by trade. There was a time when we were all going to Catholic school, and so needed a little extra money, so he was driving a cab on weekends and at night sometimes. But as I said, a chemist by trade. And when I was going to college, I went to Seton Hall, and he worked in Bloomfield. We lived in the New Brunswick area, so he would drive me up the parkway. And those of you who know that area, exit 144, he'd drop me off, and I would get the bus that would take me down South Orange Avenue to Seton Hall. I was a commuter, but I didn't drive. I didn't have a car. And then my dad would come back at the end of the day and pick me up because he was a little bit north of there in Bloomfield. But I remember in those days, you know, I was like probably any 18, 19, 20-year-old, you know, think you know everything and don't know a thing. You know? There's that quote attributed to Mark Twain. You know, when I was 18, I thought my father was the most ignorant man in the world. When I turned 21, I was amazed to see how much he had learned in 3 years. So we'd have these discussions, and I was not happy at college. I didn't like going to school. I wasn't very studious. And I was telling my father I wanted to be a singer, and you can't do that. You need your education. You have to get your degree. And I said, but I love singing, and I want to do it. And I said to him, I said, do you like your job? And he were driving up the parkway every morning going to work. And he said, not really, but you know what? I have a family to take care of, and a man's got to do what a man's got to do. And I've always remembered that because, you know, he was educated in you know, he had a college degree in the sciences, and he was a chemist, but he wasn't thrilled with what he was doing, but he knew he had to do it, right? And so we look to those individuals, even in our own lives, our own parents, our own fathers, or we as fathers, grandfathers perhaps, who have mirrored the image of St. Joseph to us in a very special way. You know, fathers are called to really reflect God the Father to their children. But in a special way, today we remember St. Joseph, the just man, who was given the task by God himself to be the protector of the Son of God and his Blessed Mother. And he did what he had to do. You know, and when an angel came to him in a dream and said, the child is in danger, take Mary and Jesus and flee to Egypt, he didn't hesitate. And I'm sure it wasn't the easiest thing to do, to leave everything and just go. But that's the task he was given by God, this great, great desire to fulfill God's will in his life, in the vocation that he was given. And so John Paul says, may Saint Joseph become for all of us an exceptional teacher in the service of Christ's saving mission, a mission which is the responsibility of each and every member of the church, husbands and wives, parents, those who live by the work of their hands or by any other kind of work, those called to the contemplative life and those called to the apostolate. This just man who bore within himself the entire heritage of the old covenant was brought into the beginning of the new and eternal covenant in Jesus Christ. May he show us the paths of this saving covenant as we stand at the threshold of the next millennium, in which there must be a continuation and further development of the fullness of time that belongs the ineffable mystery of the incarnation of the Word. May Saint Joseph obtain for the church and for the world, as well as for each of us, the blessing of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that was John Paul, 1989. So my friends, today as we conclude, let's remember, not just today, but every day, to go to St. Joseph as the protector of the universal church and ask him, pray for our church through the intercession of St. Joseph. Keep the enemy far away. And ask him also and the Holy Family to dwell in our homes, in our domestic churches, to protect our homes from the evil one, to guide us in our decisions, to keep our families united in love and in faith, to bring back those members of our family who are estranged from each other in forgiveness and love, to bring back those members of our family who have left the church, to remember that parents and children and grandparents, this beautiful bond of family, aunts and uncles and cousins, we go to St. Joseph today in a special way and ask him to please pray for our families, to keep us close to our as family, but also, my friends, to remain close to Jesus in our life together. So we ask St. Joseph today, please, St. Joseph, hear our prayers and pray for us. I got to go and be back tomorrow, God willing. So go out tonight and feast. It's a feast day. You can break your Lenten fast. Have some Zeppoli, St. Joseph cakes, all kinds of stuff. 7 o'clock Mass tonight at St. Magdalene's up in Flemington, if you're interested. We'll pray for each other. My name is Jim Manfredonia. Thank you for listening. God bless you, and God love you.